I can do all things. Praise the Lord. That's our theme for the month, and that's the topic we're taking this morning. I can do all things. And our text is taken from the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 to 13. I'll quickly run through the scripture, but emphasis will be laid on verse 13. Philippians chapter 4, 1 to 13, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Udia, and I implore you, Sinteshi, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also through companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guide your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at your last care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Somebody declare that to yourself and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. It will surprise you to know that this encouraging letter was written by Apostle Paul while he was in prison. And he was waiting to be executed. Rather than wallow in his situation, he wrote a letter encouraging people, reminding the Philippians of the things they have seen him do, and encouraging them to be steadfast and continue to work in the precepts of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And he's also telling them that look at my life as an example. In essence, remember my testimony. Remember my testimony. You have seen me when I had so much. I had more than enough. I have also learned to be content when I had nothing. Why? Because I know that regardless of the situation, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And you know something? This verse, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, is one of the verses in the Bible that I see that people misinterpret most times. How many of us watch cartoons, superheroes cartoons? So you see a man, suddenly he grows muscles within 1 second and he's able to lift Exusia. And he leaves us from here and he takes us to Banana Island. And he places us on 10 plots of land and we're wondering, how did he get to Banana Island? Superhero. Praise God. So when people read, I can do all things, they imagine themselves to be superheroes. That they can come in today and carry a car. In fact, when you turn and your neighbor is driving and he splashes car on you, you turn and you look at the keke and you do like this. Magic, keke turns to G-Wagon and you carry your own and you drive away. Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You're a student. Instead of you going for lectures or going to study, you waste your time and you come back and you say, the Bible says I can do all things because you're a superhero. Praise the Lord. So most times, this scripture, this particular text, is often at times done what? Misinterpreted. And if you come to the youth, if you go to the social media in-laws, you hear motivational speakers, those ones that have never experienced anything, but they have knowledge of everything. They don't have a testimony, but they know everything. And if you're not careful and your heart is not entrusted to God, they will lead you to be the experimental pig who will walk the walk for them. So they know everything, everything under the surface of the earth. They know it, they have answer, motivational speakers, but they have never experienced it. When they speak to you, If you're not grounded, you become sold to the truth in quotes that you think they're speaking to you. Praise God. And then they tell you, you can do all things. And you believe them because they don't have a testimony. But Apostle Paul has a testimony. And he says, I have learned to be abased. And I have learned to be abound. And in all of this, I have grown to be what? To be content. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Praise God. So we're going to look at these things in different ways. Yes, you can have the perfect marriage. Yes, you can have the perfect job. Yes, you can have the perfect career. Yes, you can have all the money in the world if it is God's will concerning you. Not because you think you can do it. So you go and you do something, you say, because I can do it. If you're doing it like that, that means you're misinterpreting that scripture to mean that God will send answer to you speedily because of what you want and not because of his will. The book of James says, you do not receive when you pray, because when you pray amiss. So if you believe that scripture in the context of a motivational speaker, you are like the one who just believes, God has given me this word, so I can buy a car tomorrow because I can do all things. You are forgetting part B, so you have stripped the verse into two, and you're only quoting first verse. I can do all things. I can buy a car because I can do all things. I can pass my exams because I can do all things. I can heal the sick because I can do all things. I can become the president of Nigeria because I can do all things. I can win this football match because I can do all things. I can win the marathon because I can do all things. And you're forgetting the source. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So it's not about your knowledge. It is not about your strength. It is not about what you have attained. It is not about where you think you are. But it is dependent on Christ who strengthens you. I hope somebody is following me. It is dependent on who? On Christ who strengthens me. So don't get me wrong. God is still in the business of doing miracles. God, what did I say? God is still in the business of doing miracles. If you watch Holy Ghost service or you were in camp on Friday, you would have heard the testimony of the man who shared that they were traveling and armed robbers stopped them. Who remembers? And they brought a gun to shoot them. It sounded very weird that the man brought a gun and instead of shooting, he started dancing. Who was beating the drum? Who was singing? And he danced and danced and danced and danced from the side where the driver was. And he danced and danced and danced and danced towards the back of the car. And he kept dancing till everybody who came down entered the car and they drove away. He was still dancing. God is still in the business of doing miracles. Because he's the creator. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. He's the creator. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 5, he is life. He is life. Then Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, he sustains everything he has created. So it's not about you're just God creating you. Because he has created you, he has the ability to sustain and to maintain you. But first of all, you must understand that that ability to be maintained and sustained is not because of your hard work. It is not because of your knowledge. It is because of Christ Jesus who strengthens you. And Christ Jesus doesn't strengthen you from the outside. He strengthens you from the inside. The Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. So he doesn't work from the outside. If I come to Daddy today and say, Daddy, Happy New Year. Daddy, I know you did Christmas for me. Daddy, do New Year for me now. Daddy will smile. And he'll be looking at me like he's smiling now. But if I go to the office and I repeat it again and say, Daddy, you didn't do New Year. Daddy will know that I'm serious. Because I call him Daddy, he's my father. He will do New Year for me, true or false. But if I don't know Daddy, and I meet him on the road as a stranger, and I say, do New Year for me, will he answer me? The person will look at me like, hey, this one dressed like this, so we're done the start, so God help. You know, anything can happen. So God doesn't strengthen you from the outside. God strengthens you from the inside. That's number one. Number two, for you to understand scriptures the way God wants us to understand scriptures, you must understand scriptures in the full context for which it is given. already gave an instance. I can do all things, and you're going around. You can do all things. Yes, you can lift this chair, but you can't lift this building. Unless God gives you strength, like he gave Samson, then you can lift the building. Praise God. But it is through God, so you must identify the fact that God is the source, and not turn a scripture to a slogan because the first place suits you. Praise God. You don't turn it to a slogan because the first part suits you. So in context, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Means I am totally dependent on God as my source. I am totally dependent on God as the one that gives me direction. And anything he has called me to do in his will, I will do. Is someone following me? So you're going for that marathon or you're going for that exam. Yes, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. So you go and you don't win the marathon and you fail the exam. Doing all things through Christ that strengthens you will come into play as to what you do because you didn't pass. So I didn't pass doesn't mean that I have failed. The Bible says, Micah 7, do not laugh at me at my enemy, for when I fall, I will do what? I will rise again. So what do you do when you are on the ground? It is where the real context of I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me comes into play. If it is not in the full context of the scripture, what will happen? You will fail and you will cry and you will go home and you will keep crying and the devil will keep laughing at you. For somebody here, it's the beginning of the year. It doesn't matter how you have started. I trust God who is able to perfect all things, that he will perfect all that concerns you in Jesus' name. Because you will not just do all things. You will do it through the strength of God in you in Jesus' name. So it's not about what you do when you pass, but it's rather about what you do when the situation does not favor you. When you think it doesn't favor you, it doesn't align with the qualifications of man for you at that time. They have looked at you and said, by 40 years, you should be married. All your sisters are married. All you're doing is doing ashebi. That's fine. Hello? That's fine. Did you hear me? I said, that's all right. That is man's window. God's window is saying, yes, you're 40 years, but the man I have prepared for you is somewhere. I'm getting him ready so that when he comes, you do not endure your marriage, but you're going to enjoy your marriage. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. You have tried the first one and you want to travel abroad and the visa didn't come through. So what? You keep trying again. You don't give up and you keep doing what? Trying again. As long as it is within the perfect will and purpose of God for you. So Apostle Paul is saying to somebody today, I can do all things. And by the way, if you read from verse 11 to 12, when he gave examples of being abased, being abound, he's not just opposing those instances and saying this is more important than the other one. Apostle Paul is simply sharing his testimony. I say to people who know me, if I can't share my testimony to convince you to give your life to Jesus, then I don't know whose testimony else I can share. So it's okay to read the Bible and know the scripture, but what testimony do you have of working with God? Of your 100 years of knowing God, of having given your life to Jesus, what testimony do you have? This is a man in prison waiting to be executed. He's not wavering. He's not crying. He's not looking for a way to bribe the leaders. He's not doing anything to get himself out of prison. All he's interested in is that the brethren that he has ministered to remain steadfast in the knowledge of Christ that they have come to know. What is your testimony today? It's the beginning of the year. What testimony of yours do you still hold on to from last year to know? What thing of God, what attribute of God can you see and say this has been made manifest in my life and I can touch it? One of my favorite stories in the Bible is of Moses. When Moses said in Exodus chapter 3, and he said, Lord, if you don't go with me, I will not go. And the Bible says God asked him to put his hand in his pocket. Touch your staff. Somebody who has been a shepherd for almost 40 years dropped his staff. That's the way they use work every day. Snaff, change, run. Haba. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it tells me that the word of God is very tangible. When you walk with God, the word of God is very tangible. You can touch it. You can feel it. You can grasp it. It's not about just hearing it. It is tangible enough for you to feel. If you come to that level where you can touch and you feel the word of God, then you know that indeed you are making progress with God. When it's no longer stories, when it's no longer about somebody else's testimony, but it is personal to you. It has to be personal to you for you to come out and tell it to somebody else, or else all you're saying is just stories. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What are the things? What are the things? NIV puts it in a different way. It says, I can do all this. And I think I like that translation. I can do all this. Not I can do all things. Because when you say all things, as a human being, our mind will start running wild. There's a whole world of possibilities of all the things I can do. Without putting God, the God factor in that world of possibility to know which one is God's motive for you. Praise God, or God within God's plan for you. So NIV says, I can do all this. I can do all this. What are the things? For instance, Apostle Paul was encouraging people. Apostle Paul was writing letters. Apostle Paul was unwavering in his faith. If you read, that's why I took the scripture from verse 1. He says, be anxious for nothing. He wasn't anxious. And he says, even though you're anxious, remember to pray. And when you're praying, remember to thank God. Hello? Remember to thank God. What are these things you can do? You can thank God. You will learn to trust God. You will learn to be grounded in faith. You will learn to profess the gospel of Christ. You will learn to stand and say, regardless of what I see, God is enough. I can do all things is an affirmation that God is enough. That within God, I have all that I need. Within God, I can be all that I can be in accordance to God's plan. Within God, I can have life in the fullness and in the abundance that Christ has destined for me. Because God is enough. Somebody say, God is enough. Say it like a minute and say, God is enough. So I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What is this scripture about? Number one. That scripture is about learning to be content. To be contented. Praise God. Apostle says, no matter what, God will give me strength to accomplish whatever I want to accomplish. Why? Because he has learned that there were times when he needed, when he didn't have. But within the ones that he had, he was contented. Hello? He wasn't like the man in Psalm 73 who God has provided for. Rather than looking and thanking God for the things and the provisions God has given to him, he's looking across his neighbor's fence and admiring the things that his neighbor has. Until he comes to the realization that wealth can fly away like dust. But when you're grounded in God, the blessings of God can never evaporate. Praise the Lord. The Bible says his mercies are renewed day by day. Meaning every day that God gives me a renewed mercy, there's a renewed blessing. His benevolences do not run dry. Praise God. God's wealth of blessings, his value of blessings, or his stream of blessings, you can't measure. So for every day of my life, so calculate the number of your years and multiply it by days. And he's saying every day his mercy is renewed. So for a child who is 1 year today, that child has enjoyed 365 days of renewed mercies of God. So if you're 10 years, that's 3,650 days of the renewed mercies of God that you have enjoyed at 10 years old. Multiply that by your age. So if God is able to renew mercies for you in accordance to the number of your days, then there are blessings that are refreshed daily for you if only you stand and you remain in the plan of God. So Apostle Paul, number one of the things we learn is that this scripture is about being content. Being content. God wants us to learn to be content. So because God has not given you the big ones, the big blessings that you so desire, doesn't mean that he will not give you. Often at times we're not matured for it. So imagine somebody who is praying today and say, Father, give me a car. Give me a car. What's your reason for having a car? Everybody in your compound has a car. So in the morning when you're going, you're the only one who has Legedis Benz. Hello? You don't know whether God is strengthening you to teach you resilience as you walk. And then God is growing you in patience as you also walk. Maybe every day when you walk to work, W-A-L-K, and you're going to W-O-R-K, along your way, it's 20 minutes to walk, and that 20 minutes is a time of communion with God. You pray every day with God. By the time God gives you a car, it takes you 2 minutes to go to work. You'll not be able to communicate with God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So you lose your prayer life, and God is growing you until you get to the level when that blessing comes, that blessing will remain. That blessing will do what? Remain. Because along the line, you have followed the process of God and you have become matured enough that you can sustain and maintain that blessing. So when the blessing is not coming, it's not because God is denying you. It's because the time is not right. So God is putting you in a waiting room to grow you, to mature you, so that you can handle the blessing that comes to you. Is somebody following me? You're waiting for unto God. You're waiting unto God for that son that will come. And the Lord is looking at you and say, this son, do you know that most times, if you look at the scriptures, people who waited and had sons later, they had mighty seeds that did exploits for God. Go through the Bible. And God took their mothers through a process so that the mothers could be able to handle them. And when you win them, you release them to God. God gives him to you out of excitement. When it's time for digging deep, you say, hey, mommy, but please, I know you put my name on timetable to sing. I cannot sing. Since I came, somewhere has been crying. I gave him Cerelac, he did not drink. I gave him pap. Now his father said I should give him okra and gari. Somewhere that you pray for 20 years has become an excuse for you not to come to church. That's not what God wants. God wants you to mature to the level that you know that even though Samuel is crying, when you bring Samuel into the house of God, Samuel recognizes that he's in the house of the Father, and the crying becomes shouts of joy for God. So God needs to mature you to get to that level. But until you get to that level, you must be contented with where you are and the things that God has given you. Apostle Paul, a typical example. A very typical example. And in the midst of it, he says, I can do all things. Even while in prison, I can do all things. When I started my current job in 2006 in the company, there was a sister, her name was Sister Glory. She's late now. Sister Glory, when I came to do my onboarding, she was the one, she was HSC lead and she onboarded me. Her tummy was big. I think I'll share this testimony with a couple of people who are close to me here. Her tummy was big. So I thought she was pregnant and she was going to have twins. And I kept, Mama Ibeji, everybody would call her. She would smile and say, it is well with me. Hey, Mama Ibeji, how are the twins? She would say, most of us didn't know that Sister Glory was ill, that she had what you call liver cirrhosis. So her tummy was retaining fluid. So when she wants to sit down, as you're telling her, Mama Ibeji, it is well with you, she'll be struggling to sit down. And you say, Sister Glory, what is it? She said, I can do all things. I didn't understand this scripture. God reminded me yesterday. Sister Glory will say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. The day I realized that it was sickness, I wept till the following day. I went to her house and said, Mama, let's go to the hospital. Let's do this. Let's do this. She said, no. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Sister Glory was going to MFM then. She would go for all the programs. She said, I have gone to hospitals. I have spent money. So if God wants this sickness to take me, so be it. But I can do all things. One of our friends left the office. Kunle Kuda, he's in Lagos. And Kunle said he had an urge that day to go and see her. And when he got to the house, he started calling her. We hadn't seen her in the office for 2 days. We didn't know she was down and she was dying in her house. By the time we got to her house, all Glory was professing till she died was, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. What does that tell you? Indeed, Glory did all things because she overcame death. The Bible says, death, where is thy sting? Because death is swallowed in victory. When you know that you can do all things, you will be afraid of nothing. Because the all things you will do are the things that are within the perfect will of God. And I know that in God, all things are complete. In God, all things are what? Are complete. So regardless of what your doctor is saying, regardless of what your landlord is saying, regardless that it is January and you think things are not working out, regardless of what you think is hovering around you, you say to your spirit, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me because I have the Spirit of God in me and I know that Christ did not fail. I will not fail. I know that Christ did not fall. I will not fall. Daddy, if it is your perfect will that this situation is as it is, I can do all things in it. I remain contented in it because I know when it is the hour of my breakthrough, when is the set time of my freedom, you will show up. God is never late. He is always on time. If you like, count the time from now to 20 years. God is always on time. Because your clock and God's clock is not the same. So you must learn to be contented in that situation. You must learn to be contented in what you see. Because God will show up. And when he shows up, he will show up on time. Is somebody listening to me this morning? God bless you as you listen in Jesus' name. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Number two, this scripture is a verse proclaiming victory. It is a verse proclaiming victory. I've already shared the story of glory. Like Jesus, she conquered death. She held on to her faith, her dogged faith, and she said, pain, regardless of how severe you are, I can overcome you through Christ that strengthens me. She looked at sickness and said, regardless of the doctor's report, I overcome because I know by his stripes I am made perfect. The Bible says that we are not afraid of death because in death we are transformed and glory was transformed. So I don't care what death, near-death situation you think you are or the near-death situation you think you're businesses. One assurance I bring to you today is that you can do all things as long as you remain in the perfect plan of God. It is a verse proclaiming God's victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Technical, give me 1 Corinthians 15:57. Very simple and straightforward verse. 1 Corinthians Media 15:57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What has God given you? Giving you what? Did he say victory is for today, 8th of January? And who did he give the victory to? Through. So Christ is not only strengthening you. God is not only strengthening you to do all things through Christ Jesus. But in the same Christ Jesus, you have victory. Such love. In the same Christ Jesus, you have what? Say it to yourself, I have victory. Regardless of what life throws at me this year, I have victory. Regardless of what life throws at me, because God has given me through victory through Christ, I have victory. And so shall you be in Jesus' name. Do you know what it is to go to war? You're going to war. You're preparing to go to war. B. They say this community A and community B will go to war. Community A is preparing. They are buying all their missiles and bringing everything from Russia. This one is saying, no, it's not only Russia, even Afghanistan I will buy. Community C is standing here and looking at you. Because even before the war began or has begun, Community C has been declared victory. Okpario, that's the whole essence of that scripture. That regardless of what comes your way, God has given you victory. The only thing that is remaining is for you to see it and walk into it. So as you're proclaiming victory, you do not proclaim victory with eyes that cannot see. You proclaim victory with eyes that can see because you have to see it to grasp it. Moses said, Lord, if you don't show me, I will not go. He dropped his rod on the ground and that rod became a snake and he ran away from the rod that he has been using to guide sheep for almost 40 years. He put his own hand though, his own hand, not my own hand, inside pocket. When he bring out hand, if yeah, now my hand, now your hand, now a hand he put inside pocket. But he saw it with his eyes. He saw it with his eyes. I don't care what you see or what you think you're seeing. But as you're sitting on your chair, you're going to say, Father, eyes that will see your will. Eyes that will see the location. Eyes that will see levels. Eyes that will see change. Eyes that will see breakthrough. Father, give unto me in the name of Jesus. Wherever my vision is blinded, Daddy, in the name of Jesus, cause it to open now. In the name of Jesus. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Who has given you victory? I can do all things. You're proclaiming, it is a verse proclaiming victory. Who has given you victory? Why is he giving you victory? Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, now therefore there is no more condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Remember the example I gave? He cannot strengthen you from outside. He will strengthen you from inside. How does he strengthen you from inside? Because once you're in Christ Jesus, there is something that changes in you. When a man and a woman get married and they have a child, there's a transfer of genes. That's why you hear when they say, we're going to do paternity tests. What are they checking? They are checking for genes that show that this father, Kayode, is raising his hand. Even without doing paternity tests, your son looks like you. Praise the Lord. So, they take the blood samples and they check that the genes are the same. When you give your life to Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, all things are passed away. Everything becomes new. Because at that point, there is a change in your genealogy. So you now get the gene of God in you. And that gene of God in you is the gene that when you call, Bible says, when we cry, Abba, Father, he answers us. Because he's not answering by your voice. It is recognizing the gene that is inside of you. And in recognizing that gene that is inside of you, when the world is saying we are condemning people, he stands by the corner and says, this one is not among the condemned because my gene is in him. Can't you see that this one belongs to me? And that one is the one that fights from a place of victory because scripture says there is no longer a condemnation for you. So if you come to that realization, my time is up. If you come to that realization, you will know that when you say, I can do all things, you're coming from a place of victory. Praise the Lord. You're coming from a place of what? From a place of victory. The third thing that that verse does for us is it tells us that forgiveness is possible. When Apostle Paul started, after his greeting, verse 2, he identified two women who have been working with them. And in NLT, New Living Translation, he said you need to forget your grievances and make up so that you can agree to work together. Hello? Some of us are sitting here. The weight that is keeping you from progressing is not of anything that any man has placed on you, but the things you have placed on yourself. You have dragged people from 2022 in your heart into 2023 because you have refused to forgive. I can do all things, meaning I can forgive like Christ forgave me. Bible says that in that forgiveness, he sent his son who was without sin to come and be like those that were with sin. There was an exchange so that his son will wear sin and die. And then I'll be clothed in the full righteousness of God because he forgave me. But you're sitting here, you're hearing the word of God. You are still holding that man, that woman, that girl in your heart. It is so difficult to let go. You are not able to forgive. My dear brother, my dear sister, you need to let go. In my language, they say, Jimma do jionwea. So if I'm holding you down, I'm holding myself. If I say my brother will not stand up and I sit in his leg, am I standing? The answer is no. So you need to let go. Bible says in that scripture, I can do all things. Forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is possible. Let's quickly read Colossians chapter 3, 13 to 15. Colossians 3, 13 to 15. I'll read NLT from here. It says, make allowance for each other's fault and forgive anyone who offends you. Why? Because we are not perfect. It is only God that is perfect. Remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Number 14, above all, clothe yourself with love. Because it is only when you forgive that you can love. If you don't forgive and you love, what you're doing is eye service. There is no love. The Bible says we can't claim to love God when we cannot love man that we see. So you must forgive to love. He said, above all, clothe yourself with love. What does love do? In that verse, he said, it binds us together in perfect harmony. What does love do? Verse 14, NLT. He says, it binds us together in perfect harmony. And 15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. So if you do not forgive, you cannot love. And it is only when you love that the peace of God can rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. Always be thankful. Colossians 3, 13 to 15. You must forgive, you must love, and you must learn to live together. So how can we do all these things that Apostle Paul has highlighted for us? How can we do? Number one, you must be in the right standing with God. You must be in the right standing with God. Bible says if we confess our sins, that he's faithful and just to forgive us. Bible says all have sinned. You sit down and you think that you're not a sinner. Everybody here is a sinner because our righteousness is like a filthy rag before God. But there are people who are sinners, and Bible, God forbid that those ones are here, that the Bible says they've been given a reprobate mind, and they think that all the sins that they do is actually the right thing. May we not come to that level in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. I like the Amplified version, so I put it down here. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. It says, but it is from him that you are in Christ Jesus, who became us wisdom from God, revealing his plan of salvation and righteousness. So you cannot be righteous until you come to God. You're here today, you have not known Christ Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And you can hear my voice. This is an opportunity for you to make it right. I tell you one thing, this message is not coming as a mistake. On the second Sunday in the first month of the year, God is set to do mighty things for you and with you and through you. But God needs to be sure that your ways are right with him. Because until your ways are right with God, you may struggle. Praise the Lord. So you must give your life to Jesus. Because when you give your life to Jesus, that DNA switch I talked about, that's when it happens. That's when that identity switch happens. That's when that identity switch happens. Then we are made God's children. Number two, once we are made God's children, you must desire the Holy Spirit. Why? Why must you desire? Number one, you must make your ways right with God. Number two, you must desire the Holy Spirit, because it is through the Holy Spirit that you are empowered to do the will of God. Without the Holy Spirit, you will struggle. Without the Holy Spirit, I tell you, you will struggle. But it is through the Holy Spirit that you will be able to do the will of God. I read a scripture this morning during workers' meeting, and I'm going to take it again. I'm reading Ephesians 3, and I'm going to read 14 to 19. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. It says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the richness of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened through the power of the Holy Spirit. Number one. So your strength does not come from you. Your knowledge does not come from you. Strength comes from the empowerment that comes through the Holy Spirit. And then that strength does not come from outside. If you read further, it says, and then the power through his Spirit in your inner being. So when God strengthens you, he doesn't strengthen you from the outside. We took some teachings with workers, so I think it was over a year ago, with Pastor Victor. And we talked about the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit with you, Holy Spirit on you, and Holy Spirit in you. The highest level is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Not Holy Spirit with you by your side. No, it is the Holy Spirit in you. That is when you can be strengthened. Because God sees his DNA. The DNA answers to the Father and you receive strength. You receive direction. Bible says that when Jesus was going, he said, it is pertinent for your sake that I leave. Why? I will send you the Spirit, that one who has my DNA, to dwell in you, so that the things I have taught you that by mere human mind you have forgotten, through the Spirit that dwells in you, and it is connected 247 with me, you will remember. So he says, I strengthen you in the inner being so that Christ will dwell in your heart. So Christ dwelling in your heart depends on you being filled with the Holy Spirit and the strength that is in inside. So it's important for you, as you give your life to Jesus, to desire the infilling of the Spirit so you don't struggle. It is important for you to desire it and cry to God and say, Father, I need the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I have struggled by my own all these years. This year, I refuse to do a struggle. Even if it's for the fulfillment of my relationship with you, Father, fill me with your Spirit, because it is only when you're filled with the Spirit that you can pray. It is only when you're filled with the Spirit that you can walk with God. And may the Lord bring that to pass in you in the name of Jesus. That infilling has a location. Remember what I said, it is not outside. It is where? It is inside. Praise God. Number three, you must be true ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That's the last point. You must be true ambassadors of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 20. It simply says, so we are Christ's ambassador. Who is an ambassador? For every nation on the surface of the earth, when you go to other nations, they have ambassadors. So Nigeria has ambassadors to the US, to the UK. Likewise, those countries will have ambassadors here. Who are they? They are true representatives of the leadership of those nations. Praise God. So when they come here and things are going amiss, they will say, please, we're sorry. We're going to meet with our country and we'll come back. Peace will reign. Because that one man here, even though he doesn't understand how he's going to do it, has spoken, peace must reign. Do you understand? So when you're an ambassador of Christ, what are you saying? You're saying that God through me will perfect his will. So God needs you to be reconciled with him. He needs you to desire the infilling of the Spirit. And three, he needs you to be an ambassador. You need to be an ambassador. An ambassador is the one who is a true imitator of Jesus. You speak like Jesus, you act like Jesus, you love like Jesus, you do like Jesus. The Bible says he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he went about doing good. Are you going about doing good? Are you showing love? How is your speech? Is it seasoned with salt? How do you look at people? How do you greet? In everything, very simple, you would have asked yourself, what will Jesus do? That is the simple trick of being an ambassador. When you are not clear as to what to do, you say, what will have Jesus, what would Jesus have done in this situation? You go to your Bible and you say, Jesus would have done like this, so I would do like this. So you must be a true representative of Jesus. In being a true representative of Jesus, you see a daily reflection of Christ in your life. You see a daily reflection of his person in your life. And daily you will grow to be more and more like him. And your light will keep shining brighter and brighter unto a perfect day as it tarries in Jesus' name. In conclusion, it's a new year. There's a world of opportunities out there for us. But you must make it right. I can do all things is not the story of a superhero. I can do all things is the story of the one who has learned to trust God. The one who has learned not to lean on his own understanding. The one that knows that God is the director. The one that knows that God is the captain, the only captain, and the one that's come to the realization that God is enough. The prodigal son in Luke 15 thought he had everything when he took his inheritance and left. But he realized that his inheritance was not enough. His father, who was the king, had enough. Have you realized today that you are the son of a king as you're sitting here? You have been walking and you have been operating in a lower cadre than that which God has designed for you. The Bible says, I have seen an error in the land that princes are walking on the ground and slaves are riding on horsebacks. Are you the one walking on the ground and slaves are riding on the back of the horse? That is an error. If that is your situation, as we bow our heads, I'd like you to raise your hands. I'd like you to raise your hands, even as we bow our heads to pray. You are the one, you know that seated there where you are is not where you're supposed to be. You are the one seated there. You know that this word that has come forth this morning is for you. You are the one seated there. You're saying, Lord, I know I can do all things. I have trusted my strength. I have leaned on my own understanding all my days. But now, Lord, I know and I have clarity as to what you want me to do. Kindly raise your hand. I'd like to pray with you. It's the beginning of the year. We must make it right with God. Make a bold step this morning for Jesus. Declare Jesus that his DNA will be seen in you. And when that DNA is seen in you, when the devil looks at you, he says, indeed, this one is the anointed of the Lord. I cannot touch him. Until you make that switch, until you make up your mind for Christ, you will be there running on your own speed. You will be there running on your own speed, running on by your own time, running by your time, by your own strategy. If you're here this morning, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to give your, raise your hand boldly. Raise it. Let the devil see it and know that you're declaring Jesus. Raise it. Let the heaven see it and identify you today and say, yes, this one has come back to the Father. And if your hand is up, do me a favor and get up to your feet. Rise up to your feet. I need the heavens to reckon with you this morning. I can see your hands where you're raising them. Just take a bold step and rise to your feet. Take a bold step and rise to your feet this morning. Take a bold step and rise to your feet. And as you're rising to your feet, ushers, please help me. Let them come to the front of the altar. Daddy in the Lord is going to pray for you this morning. Father is going to pray for you this morning. Daddy is going to pray for you this morning to make a fresh step, to make a fresh start, to make a fresh start, a fresh start for the new year, a fresh start for the new year, a fresh start for the new year. Yes, you can do all things, regardless of what you think you are seeing. Yes, you can do all things, regardless of where you think you are. Yes, you can do all things because Christ in you will give you hope. And because you have hope, you will never fail, you will never falter. And so shall it be in Jesus' name. Even as we're bowing our heads, I saw some hands. Maybe they don't want to come out, but wherever you are, I ask that the Spirit of the Lord will identify with you this morning. I ask that the Spirit of God will identify you with this morning. And that which needs to be changed in you will be changed in the name of Jesus. Let's bow our heads as we pray this morning, even as we're seated. Say, Father, help me to look unto Jesus. each moment of the day for strength. Help me not to rely on my own understanding, because my understanding is imperfect. Help me, Lord, not to rely on my own intelligence. My intelligence is empty. Help me to look unto Jesus as the author and finisher of my faith, in the name of Jesus. Even as you're praying that prayer, say, Father, teach me to walk in love. Teach me to walk in love all my days, because I know that you are love. Lord, teach me to walk in love. And as I walk in love, that it let my life continue to radiate a sweet smelling radiance of sacrifice unto you, in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, for the rest of this year, Father, teach me to be contented. Daddy, teach me to be contented. Wherever I find myself in any situation, whatever it is, Daddy, teach me to be contented. To rely unto you, Lord. To rely unto you, because I know in you I'm complete. Teach me, oh God, my Father, to remain focused on you all my days.